time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into another week of Sports 56 Mornings. What a weekend it was in the world of sports. We got a great week coming up as the postseason begins in the NBA. But the Masters won once again by Rory. He had the big lead. He blew the lead. He got the lead back. And he wins the green jacket for a second year in a row. As I said, the NBA regular season is now over. The postseason begins. And the Grizzlies' long season has finally come to an end. Those are just some of the topics we'll touch on today here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Monday, April 13th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham, we're all together again in the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. They got the spring sale going on right now. 69 degrees currently. It's going to warm up to 81 today. It'll be quite windy once again. Intervals of clouds and sunshine this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy and warm. And then for the rest of the week, we're looking at high temperatures of 87 degrees tomorrow, 85 on Wednesday, and then 82 on Thursday before rain is expected in the area, about an 88% chance on Thursday, then back to 86 degrees on Friday before we have a cooling next weekend of a 67-degree day on Saturday. It is fantastic news for us as we are very pleased that our first hour of the program is now being sponsored by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery at 305 South Front Street in downtown Memphis, a product made in Memphis, 150 years in the making, starting with the Canale family and their arrival to Memphis. The revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. They have an unbelievable distillery bar right there at the premises where they produce the Tennessee whiskey, the bourbon whiskey, the vodka, that Honeybell citrus, the Formula 10 gin. It is really a fun place to go. If you're having dinner downtown, maybe seeing a ball game or going to dinner, stop by and have a cocktail to wrap up your night at the distillery bar. OldDominic.com is the website, pouring Memphis pride into every cocktail with their award-winning craft spirits. Swing by, as I mentioned, for a cocktail. Cheers to Memphis. Happy hour Thursdays from 4 to 7. Cocktails, $7, made with that signature spirits and $4 local beers at Old Dominic Distillery. Again, we can't thank them enough for being a part of our program and the first hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings. Eli, how was your weekend?
It was good. Great weekend. Obviously, the weather just absolutely spectacular once again. So took advantage of that. Watched a lot of golf. Played a lot of golf. Just had a good time.
Jay Ham, your weekend?
It was pretty good, but I had to kind of cool out away from the weather. That when I see moderate air quality, I kind of duck low and guard my sinuses a little bit. But I got some good sleep this weekend.
Yeah, I deal with those sinuses as well. Had a good weekend. Called some Tigers baseball games. We'll have Matt Reiser, of course, on the program coming up at 9:05 to join us as he does every Monday. But I finally got home Sunday. We had an early game, so I had plenty of time to watch the Masters. I didn't see any of it on Saturday, but after Friday, I thought it would be a cakewalk for Rory, and then all of a sudden, he's tied for the lead after three rounds. Still in a good position, but he went from a six-stroke lead to tied. And then on Sunday, thought there'd be a lot of drama. There really wasn't in the end, although he put one in the trees on 18, but he had a two-stroke cushion at that point and would go on to win. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. But we open up with the NBA and the end of the regular season. We'll tell you about where teams stand for the postseason and what the play-in schedule is when we start with the Grizzlies, who did the ultimate tanking over the weekend. On Friday, playing the Utah Jazz, I didn't think it was possible that the Grizzlies would lose to the Jazz. I really didn't. Even with their skeleton crew, they lost by 46 points. I mean, the ultimate tank job of the year. The Grizz played six guys and lost by 46, and then they come back, and you knew they were going to lose to the Rockets, even though the Rockets rested their big-time players. They lose Sunday night, last night, 132 to 101. So the Grizzlies finish tied for the sixth worst record in the NBA. Overall, they finish with 25 wins and 57 losses. And today at 11 a.m. will be the always exciting exit interviews. I'll be curious to hear what General Manager Zach Kleiman has to say, Head Coach Tuomas Isolo, and certainly some of those players. And, of course, the whole deal with Ja Morant, who I can't imagine will be available for the media.
That game Friday, that is some next level stuff to lose by 46 to the Utah Jazz. I just like think if somebody before the year was like, oh, so on the final day of the regular season, or on the final week of the regular season, Lucas Williamson will take 19 shots in the game for the Grizzlies and play 48 minutes. What the reaction would have been. If you'd have listened, here's the people who will play in a game. All of the people who will play in a game in the final week of the regular season. Dariq Whitehead, Toby Okoni, Lucas Williamson, Jemai Meshek, Adama Ball, and Ryan Rupaire.
My gosh.
That will be your Grizzlies lineup the last week of the season. What do you think of that?
That's not even a good G League team.
Like, literally would, at that point, the only one of those that most people would have heard of would have been Jemai Meshek.
Right.
I mean, if you follow the hustle, you do Lucas Williamson. But other than that, Rupaire, most people would not have known. Ball, certainly no. Okoni, no. Whitehead, it was a first-round pick. You might remember him from Duke. But, I mean, it's you're losing by 46 to a Utah Jazz team of their backups for the most part. I mean, they'd play Ace Bailey, and of course, John Conchar goes crazy with the triple double.
They had two triple doubles, one from Jitty, as you said.
It's that was NBA action, just fantastic. That's what you want. That's what fans are really. That's what you pay the big money for, is to see games like that on Friday night, and those players on the court. That's the superstar level entertainment you're looking for.
You know, it's one of those situations where I think it's okay for us to make fun of our team. But when the national media starts to make fun, I get a little mad. Because in reality, while the Grizzlies were tanking, they were one of the teams tanking, no question. I thought they actually presented a decent product for a lot of the games where they played hard. They mixed the guys up to make sure they weren't winning too much. But I thought they did a pretty good job. Now, this was the obvious tankathon at the top level. But it's funny how everybody jumped on that particular game, that Utah-Memphis game, to really poke fun at the two, especially the Grizzlies.
When I saw that Jemai Meshek started at center at 6'4", it took me back to, you guys weren't here at that time, but when we had the WBL here in Memphis, the World Basketball League, it was a 6'5 and under league, and we had John Stark starting at the power forward back then. I was like, whoa, that kind of takes me back to 36 years ago. When we had that league and that team at that time, where we have a guard pretty much playing on the, you know, on the post,
they didn't have a legitimate center the last couple of months of the season. Right. Playing really legitimate bigs, they didn't have them.
No, I mean they. I mean, yeah, they went out and signed Taj Gibson for whatever reason, and he theoretically, but he barely played during the time he's been here, so. Does he get credit for the quadruple double with the 10 turnovers?
I would. I'd give it to him.
Is that?
I mean, we give him credit for everything else. Why not? At the end of the season, it's crazy.
The old quad double.
You had a single game where three guys had a triple double. That's crazy in itself.
Do you think the Grizzlies, maybe even the Jazz, but the Grizzlies should be fined by the NBA?
No.
Okay.
The guys are hurt.
Yeah, I mean, guys are hurt and.
They got great toe injuries.
Well, I mean, what they put out, six guys that played that night.
They had six guys on Friday. They had seven guys yesterday.
I mean, if you're going to find, what's the minimum, eight that you have to play? They'd have on a
Yeah, you're, having eight, you're supposed to have eight guys.
You're supposed to have eight.
Available to play.
They probably get that fine, but other than that, leave them alone.
Right. I mean, Adam Silver has enough problems to worry about, but we'll see.
Taj Gibson was, I believe, eligible to play. He just didn't. Not that, you just have to have eight guys available to play. Doesn't mean you have to play eight guys. You just have to have eight guys available.
Available to play. Okay.
The game on Sunday, last night's game against the Rockets, you mentioned Whitehead, Derek Whitehead. I know Jerome Whitehead more than I know Derek Whitehead. He had 26 points. Ryan Rupaire had a double-double, 21 and 12. Javon Small had 18 points. It was a taxing season for everyone, for the team itself, obviously, all the members of the team, the fan base, the media having to cover this team. It was just awful. And there's nothing you could do about injuries. Unfortunately, it's the second time in 3 years that this has happened. Now we start to think ahead to what will hopefully be the changing of the luck from bad to good. And it will start with the draft lottery. So with the way they finished, Dallas won yesterday as well. Dallas won yesterday. They finished sixth, right? Tied for sixth?
No, they are just... They're sixth.
Dallas beat Chicago. That's right. Okay, so sixth place. I read this morning where no team so far in the draft lottery that has had the sixth best odds, meaning the sixth worst record, has moved up. It hasn't happened.
You do realize this is a record-setting season for losses, right? We have eight teams that have lost 55 games or more.
Is it really?
That's never happened before.
But again, with that said, the sixth worst record has never moved up in the draft lottery. Hopefully that will change. But again, I still believe an exorcism is needed. I don't think the Grizzlies are listening to me, but I do believe that that should happen. Maybe starting today at the exit interviews.
They will have 90 of the combinations out of the 1,000 possible combinations for the draft lottery. They will have 90 of those. And... we shall see. May 10th, again, is the date for the draft lottery when we will find out exactly where the Grizzlies will pick. And again, the good thing of finishing with the 6th versus the 7th or 8th is it improves the worst pick you can get. So they could move into the top 4. If they don't, they will pick either 6th. 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th. Theoretically, they got really bad luck. You could fall all the way down to 10th if four teams from behind you all jumped up. But I don't think that will happen. So in all likelihood, they will pick in either top 4 or probably 6th or 7th or 8th, which top 8 to me is very key in this draft.
By the way, there were 180 players out yesterday. Last day of the season, 180 players were out because of various injuries and some fake illnesses and things of that nature. So Ja Morant, of course, has not played, did not play for I don't know how many games since the last time he played. And now, obviously, most people believe that this is it. That's why I wonder, again, today... when Zach Kleiman meets the media, what will he say? Last year, if I remember correctly, I was there last year, and he was pretty open, which was shocking. I remember being surprised that he was as open as he was. How open will he be with this situation? I mean, there are still people, if you're on social media, especially if you're on Twitter, that still think he's coming back and he's going to be a part of this team. And I just don't see any way in hell that he will be. Then there's the stories about whether or not they made him available for the jersey giveaway on that final game, the fan appreciation game. There's a lot of stories about that. But again, yesterday, I don't even know if he was with the team in Utah and then in Houston. Probably was. But that is certainly going to be a huge storyline, not only with the Grizzlies, but in the NBA this offseason. And then the draft lottery. Now, how long will it take if the Grizzlies can stay healthy, first of all, if Edie can come back and be healthy and the rest of the guys, how long will it take with the draft, free agency, trades, for them to be relevant? And they have been a relevant team in the postseason. How long will it take? And are people ready to wait? because I can't see in 1 year this thing getting turned around.
Well, part of that will be determined by the draft lottery, where that pick ends up being and who that pick ends up being. Orlando, that second pick for the Grizzlies, that appears that Orlando, I mean, they're in a good position. They just got to win one out of the two games in the play-in in order to make the playoffs, so they could. But, I mean, it certainly is not crazy to think that they could lose to Philadelphia and then lose theoretically to a Charlotte who's been, you know, pretty darn good and end up out of the playoffs. And the Grizzlies do end up with a second lottery pick. But, you know, that second pick would appear that it's going to be probably in that, you know, 14, 15, 16, somewhere mid first round range. Then, of course, you got the early second round pick. So you got a chance to add a good amount of talent with in a great draft. Three of the top 32 picks for the Grizzlies. So gives you a lot of options of doing some things if you decide they want to move up or do some other stuff. They certainly have good capital at their to be able to do what they want to do. And that's been Zach Kleiman's thing. Normally, in pretty much every draft he's done, they have targeted somebody and they have moved up to get that person, generally, is what they do. Whether they'll do that here or not, we shall see. But they certainly have a good amount of capital to be used during this draft, which everybody knows is, you know, considered one of the great drafts that we've had in recent years.
Oh, there's no question about it. On paper, doesn't mean they all pan out. But you're right. They could package. They could keep all three picks. Again, they got an early, early second round pick as well. And they have really been successful over the years in picking second round guys. That second first round pick, whether it's lottery or not, and more than likely it won't be, like you said, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in that neighborhood, that could be a very, very good player. So, yes, I'm excited about that. Now, if you add three rookies, you know, what else are you doing with the roster? What are they going to do with Brandon Clark with all his legal issues and the injuries? So you have that decision to be made. Will they let him go with another year, I think, left on his contract? Will they make any other moves aside from the move that everybody expects them to make with Ja Morant? Will Ty Jerome be back? Will they look to try to deal Ty Jerome, which is, I think, a valuable asset for somebody out there? I think they can get something of quality for Ty, or a package of quality for Ty, if they want to move in that direction. So a lot of things that have to be decided by this front office. As far as any changes are concerned in the front office, for those who think that there should be a change, that ain't happening. Zach Kleiman will be back, unless he decides to walk away and get offered the Chicago Bulls job. I don't see him moving on. Tomas Isolo, again, really unfair for Isolo. I mean, I don't wish that on my worst enemy, what he had to go through. He'll be back as the head coach. So I don't see any movement as far as that's concerned.
No, I don't. I mean, it's impossible to judge anything with Isolo and the coaching staff with what ended up happening with all the injuries and the way this played out. But no, I would expect that Zach Kleiman and Tomas Isolo will be both back next year, and hopefully a lot of players will be back from injuries for next year. Because, but yeah, Zach Edey, I think, is probably the, you know, certainly got to get him healthy and that ankle all healed up and ready to go for next year. And then, yeah, what new faces will be, or what, you know, what do they get for Ja Morant? That's, you know, are they able to get anything of consequence whatsoever for Ja, or is it, do they end up having to use other guys just to get rid of him? You know, that whole situation will be the big part of this. And, you know, what happens in Milwaukee with Giannis certainly plays a part in all that, as teams are looking at trades and how they want, whether, you know, what happens. He's probably the first domino if they do decide they are going to end up moving him. But then Ja certainly will be one of those. When you're trading max contracts, it's not real easy to do, but teams in the offseason kind of knowing where they stand more, everything else, it makes it a little easier than in season.
Not a ton that can be said about this disappointing season, but if you'd like to Give us your opinion, your thoughts. You could always hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255 by calling in or texting in. I would imagine after today's exit interviews, maybe some juicy nuggets will come out of that, and we'll have more to talk about on the show tomorrow. But if you'd like to be a part of the program, you certainly can. When we come back, we'll talk about the final standings, who's in the playoffs, and then the play-in schedule for this week. Also, some coaching decisions have already been made in the NBA. We'll discuss that on the program as well. Lawn Solutions is a locally owned weed control fertilization company that serves the greater Memphis area. Brandon Holly and his team of professionals can take care of your lawn, and they take care of it all year long. Locally owned, family operated, go to lawnsolutionsinc.net or call them at 901-867-5626. Again, they're a locally owned weed control fertilization company. They control the germination of weeds by applying what they call pre-emergence during the winter months and then post-emergence during the summer months. They can take care of any diseases your lawn has, any insect infestation, everything from dandelions to crabgrass, grub worms to moles. Again, things that will destroy your lawn or things that just make your lawn look unpleasant. It's Lawn Solutions. They've been doing it for a long time. They know exactly what they need to do to take care of your lawn. Be the envy of your neighborhood. 901-867-5626 or online at lawnsolutionsinc.net. Just underway on a Monday. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
This morning.
Morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:25 is the time. And once again, thank you to Old Dominic Distillery, now the first hour sponsor each and every day of Sports 56 Mornings. Great to have them along.
Got a text here on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 360-8255, 360-8255. Texas says, it amazes me how much the media want to run Ja out of town, but not run Zach Kleiman out with the same energy. Well, first of all, it's not about wanting to run Ja out of town. It's just the reality of the situation is they have made the decision to move on from Ja Morant. A lot of people would like Ja to be here because he's fun to watch. Now, if he was here, you'd have to be on the floor actually playing rather than sitting in street clothes on the bench with injuries all the time. But it's just the reality of the situation. They made the decision to go to the rebuild and move on from Ja Morant. They didn't do it at the deadline, but in all likelihood, they will do it during this offseason, and they will make that move. That isn't anybody from the media wanting him out of town. It's just simply what the Grizzlies have decided to do.
No, first of all, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be neither or both. One has nothing to do with the other as far as being let go. The thing is that Kleiman, Robert Parra loves it. Robert Parra adores what this guy is doing. So he is not going to be let go. He's not going to be moved. Have we been critical at times of Zach Kleiman? Absolutely. If you listen to this show on a regular basis, over the years, there have been times when we've been very critical of Kleiman. Last year, when they let go Jenkins, I ripped apart Kleiman. But then I also applauded him for the trade of Desmond Bain. I thought that was a good trade. I hated to see Des go. But it was a really good trade with what they were able to bring in. As far as John Morant is concerned, John Morant's a showstopper. He is, how many times do I say it? Must-watch television. Every time I've had interaction with John Morant, it's been good. Never had an issue. I'm not there every night covering every game. But I've had enough times in the locker room to talk to Ja, answered the questions, no problem. All we're doing is reacting to what seems to be the situation, that his time has come and gone in Memphis. Now, you could be certainly upset that, unfortunately, most of the time he spends on the bench in regular clothes and not in a uniform. But certainly, this is not a crusade from the media. that wants Ja out. This is reality of what will likely happen. And it would be a huge shocker if all of a sudden they turned around and decided to move forward with Ja. I wouldn't be upset. I'm just, my concern would be, can he stay healthy? Not whether or not Ja Morant can be a great player again, because he will. I think when he goes somewhere else, if he goes somewhere else, which I think he will, there will be the return at some time of Ja Morant, the showstopper. But can he sustain that for the rest of his career? I highly doubt it.
Again, has Zach Kleiman been perfect as a GM? Well, no GM's ever perfect. But what what has Zach Kleiman done that would be to a point you believe he should be fired?
Well, only because people take sides.
I mean, his draft record is his draft record is really good, quite frankly. I mean, what moves has he done that you would say, like, that is a fireable thing, the way he has handled things?
Because some people can't look at it independently.
Because his whole team got hurt?
No, people look at it, if they are pro-Ja, they're anti-Kleiman. They can't look at it and grade on an individual basis. That is a problem. It doesn't have to be, like I said, one or the other. It could be both. It could be neither. But Kleiman's the one who makes the decisions. He's the boss. And again, from everything that's been out there, that's been put out there, it does appear that they're going to move away from Ja. So this is not some conspiracy. We're not conspiring as media members to oust Ja Morant. First of all, we don't have that kind of clout. Second of all, that would be a falsehood. That's not true.
I mean, the thing is, I guess you could be upset that they are going the rebuild direction, and you think they could have, tried this longer with the group that they had. But I mean, again, that's not a fireable thing. Like, that's just an organizational thing that they've realized that this just wasn't, they weren't getting there with this group, and it's with the injury situation and everything else. At some point, you do have to make that decision. If you don't believe what you have is good enough to compete, you're going to have to go in a different direction. They have made that decision. Again, you can maybe think they did that too early or whatever, but that's not something you're going to fire the GM over because they've decided to go to the rebuild route now.
Right, but it's certainly horrendous for a fan base that has now watched Desmond Bane get traded, Jaren Jackson Jr. get traded, and now likely Ja Morant get traded. I can understand the plight of the fan of the Memphis Grizzlies, who's had to put up with Lucas Williamson for the last couple of months and others. Not great.
Logan said it at the time. Rebuilds suck for fans. It's not fun to watch your team lose, but it's the reality of the situation. They have decided to go that way. Now, would you have rather seen them stick with what they got? Get into the playoffs, lose in the first round a few more times? I don't know. And who knows that they even do that? Because, again, if you can't stay healthy, they weren't going to be able to get into the playoffs at all. So, at some point, they look at it as, do we keep banging our heads against the door hoping that we stay healthy with a group that led by a guy who, at this point, has shown that he can't stay healthy? Dude's played 79 games in 3 years. Like, do you want to keep going? Maybe next year's the year he stay healthy.
I said that for so many years, and maybe I was premature in saying it, but I was the one who said, that window's not ajar. That window's not wide open. People kept saying, well, you got the window. They're so young together. But I said, no, man, that window closes real quick. Injuries start to add up. Guys are disgruntled. There's off-the-court issues. Here's the thing, though. Kleiman has, again, this unbelievable relationship with Pera, apparently. But if he does not hit on these moves that will be made here in this offseason. In other words, if he doesn't take advantage of the assets he received in the Desmond Bane trade, or the organization received in the Desmond Bane trade and the Jaren Jackson Jr. trade, and for whatever they get for Ja, which is not going to be a lot, it's going to be pennies on the dollar, and he doesn't make the appropriate moves to have the Grizzlies within two seasons back to relevancy, then to me, that's a fireable offense. Whether or not, though, his buddy fires him, that's a whole different ballgame. I don't know what that relationship is, but from afar, it looks like it's a pretty strong relationship where he has the confidence and climate. But if I'm an owner and you're going to go ahead and make these moves, which is certainly going to upset a lot of fans who have been followers and fans of Jarrett and Dez, and you're going to trade them all away, well, you better bring in star players. You better bring in guys who can be star players. You better bring in guys that have chemistry where this team, again, becomes a playoff team. And so that's all on climate. That the pressure is all on climate, and it starts with the moves that will be made this offseason. This will be the most important offseason they have had in years. And it may not, you may not see it altogether next season, but you better see improvements. Not a joke like it was this year. And then 2 years from now, they better be relevant. Now, Katie barred the door. If Edie's career crumbles because of injuries and a couple of the other guys that are important factors on this team, then you just back up the moving trucks. I don't know what you do after that. But hopefully that won't be the case. Hopefully the bad luck with the basketball gods will even out the good luck. And all of a sudden, things will happen positively for this team. And I think it starts again with this offseason, the importance of this offseason.
Yeah, health is going to be the number one. It's the number one thing that this team, and again, I don't know, not figuring it out. I don't know. They've just got to, it is, whether it's just bad luck or whatever, but something has to be done to actually keep guys healthy. And they have not been able to do that really at all. Every time they've been in the playoffs, there's always been a key injury. Obviously, two of the last 3 years dealt with so many injuries, it's crazy. But they've got to figure out some way to just keep guys healthy and available to play a season.
Absolutely. Tony is dialed in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. What's up, Tone?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to say this. I don't have a problem with them doing a rebuild, but I do believe they need to get rid of Zach Kleiman. I could feel the last caller because I did think that the media, not only did the management at the Grizzlies kind of turn against the man and start trying to kneecap him like they kneecapped Taylor Jenkins, and I didn't have a problem with that. They started a negative, to me, being negative toward from Dylan Brooks down. Now, Desmond Bane, they did not. But I thought that it was some things that were said when Ja was really pro the city, where he had the gun incident, and it seemed like the tide started turning with the media. Then later on with climbing them, because how can you let a rookie coach come in, go public, out with the media like he did? Because usually when coaches throw players under the bus, then there's something said about him. But they let that guy come in. They knew that they wanted to hire him in the beginning. They kneecapped Taylor Jenkins the way they did and scuffed his whole scalp, put this guy right next to him. You can see a guy on the TV talking to him in his ear, and it looked like Taylor Jenkins was annoyed. From then on, you know, it just seemed to have been a different in the way after that they started to treat Ja. Once that guy started, he had that one comfort, and then people started saying, well, Ja's energy looked different, this and that. But to me, Jaren's energy looked different too. You got rid of Jaren because of his contract, basically, and you had put both feet in on the rebuild. But it's just a lot to me that I think that Zach Kleiman has made a lot of errors. People want to praise him because of his second-round draft pick. But what about his first-round draft picks? What about a lot of draft picks he made? He didn't trade them off. He get more chances than a cat get live.
You know, that's not a bad assessment, Tony. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, Tony. That was very thorough and what Tony said. It's hard to argue what he... Now, here's the thing. They are not going to fire Zach Klein. I mean, unless it's some craziness behind the scenes thing that I don't know about, Zach Klein is going to be making all these decisions. So get used to that. But, I mean, Tony made some interesting points.
Again, if you could, I guess, have a problem with the whole coaching situation. Again, you're not firing the GM over hiring Thomas Isolo. That's not a fireable thing. Like, we don't even know what Thomas Isolo is. We have no idea because, again, everybody's been hurt. In his first round draft picks, you mean Desmond Bain as the 30th overall pick? Santi Aldama as the 30th pick? What, Brandon Clark at 21? Now, granted, he's gotten hurt, but whatever. Cedric Coward this past year? Yeah, you can't take a shot at Zach Kleiman's draft record. You just can't. Like, nobody's ever going to be perfect drafting. You can go look at any GM, and they're going to have picks that don't pan out. Zach Kleiman, to me, draft-wise, has been fantastic.
But I like what Tony's... I don't know if I like it, but I agree with him when he talked about Taylor Jenkins. They brought in their guy.
Yeah, was it obvious
Taylor Jenkins.
Who's going to hire Thomas Isolo as an assistant? I said it on the show.
Yes.
He's going to replace...
We both agree.
They brought him in to replace Taylor Jenkins. Again, you may not like that, and whatever. We don't know how it would have worked out differently. Ja had issues last year with Taylor Jenkins, when Taylor Jenkins was the head coach, too, with the offense and everything else that was happening. Now, again, you could say that may not have been on Taylor. That's the guys they brought in to run that offense, whatever. But so you can dislike the way the coaching situation was handled. That's not something you fire the GM over.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying that. But he's right about the way they went after Jenkins, who, by the way, could end up being the Bucs head coach, as Doc Rivers is out, as most people know, after yesterday's finale for the Bucs. But that was strategic. They brought Isolo in to become the head coach. Now, when he was brought in, I remember us talking about whether or not you go to Ja when you make that type of move before everything had crumbled in Ja's world as far as his relationship with the Grizzlies. Do you go to Ja just like you would go to LeBron or go to some of the big names with their particular team? And I don't know how that went all, but I think he signed off on it. I think he understood what the move was, that they were bringing Isolo in. And like you said, he had some issues with Jenkins when Jenkins was the head coach. But yes, absolutely, I think that there's some merit to what Tony said. Dennis is dialed in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Eli, I agree with you 100%, man. I mean, the guys had a great record in recruiting and drafting. And John, like you just alluded to, John had a hand in Jenkins getting out of here. I mean, there's no way, and I hate to, you know, y'all know how much I call in and I stick up with Penny. It's the same thing. Penny's been coddled. Ja was coddled. I mean, they protected. Both of them guys are protected, man. It's no way all of that stuff he did, and under most situations, this probably would have been happened. You know, we love Ja. This city embraces basketball players, and we take them in like our own. So we're going to defend them. But to say that, you know, Kleiman needs to go. Something had to be done, man. Something had to be done, you know. And like you guys said, injuries is going to be a big part of it. Eli, me and you Cowboy fans, there's such thing as bad luck in sports. And we've had bad luck. So, you know, I hate Josh gone, man. And like you said, he might come back. I don't know. I doubt it. But it's time to move on, man. And I think Kleiman is doing a good job, man.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
So when you go into a rebuild, again, rebuilds suck for fans. So I'm sorry, but if you're going into a rebuild, you have to go fully into it. You can't like dip your toes in a rebuild. I'm like, oh, we're gonna. That's why Jaren was traded. Like, once you made the decision that you're done with Ja, well, there's no reason. I said it at that time too. There's no reason to have Jaren. Like, you're going rebuild, you go full in on the rebuild.
Yeah, you called that.
And they did. And again, Ja, they weren't able to get enough or whatever to do it at the deadline. it's easier to trade him in the offseason. And certainly I think they will. And it's tough. Yeah, I mean, anytime in a market like this, you have a superstar, you finally get one. It sucks that it ends this way, like that, one, you didn't get to see him play enough because he's been hurt so much. And two, he'll be traded and then you don't have him. And then you got to hope that you're able in the draft to get another one of those. And that's not always easy to do. They got really lucky with him. Unfortunately, it turned out the way it did. But now you got to hope, fingers crossed, that either you get really lucky in the lottery and move up, or you just, wherever you pick, you're able to hit really good on this draft pick. And because there will be guys even at probably 6, 7, 8 that have superstar potential, and you nail one of those to get your next superstar.
Well, I disagree that you always have to go full rebuild. You make a trade of one guy. I don't know why it's like automatically we got to trade everybody else with relevancy. Why do you have to do that? I think they did this because with Jaren, the contract, number one. Number two, I don't think in reality they looked at what Jackson was giving them and they were happy with what he was giving them. He was good, but he wasn't great. And I think they figured if we can get a king's ransom for him, let's make a move with him. And they did. You called it. I give you a lot of credit. You called it from the get-go. You said they're going to, and of course they end up trading Jackson, and they still haven't traded Ja. But I don't know why you have to go complete rebuild unless you...
Because what's the purpose of keeping Jaren Jackson at that point?
Because if you think Jaren...
What, do you want to try and get into the first round of the playoffs and lose every year?
So that's what I'm saying. If you think Jaren Jackson is the guy that you can build around, then you don't trade him. My point is, they had to have thought he's not, which I have always said. You know what I've said about Jaren Jackson Jr. To me, if he was the guy, they would have kept him. But he obviously wasn't the guy in their mind, so let's get what we can get now for Jackson, which is a lot, because he's a very good player, and teams will pay a heavy price for him. And let's trade Dez, because we know Dez will bring back a king's ransom, which he did. And now you unfortunately have the situation with Ja, who was at one point the best of the three, certainly the showstopper, the universal star, international star, and now you're getting pennies on the dollar for him. That's something I still scratch my head, and I can't believe that that's the case, but that's because of the injuries. Sure, he had the gun thing. He had the off-the-court indiscretions. It's the injuries now that people are looking at going, we're not going to spend that type of money to bring in this guy who may play 5 games and wow the fans and then all of a sudden be out for the rest of the season. So obviously they're not getting... So they can't continue to think that they can build around Ja when Ja is not playing. Ja's been hurt for 3 years. And people, again, I understand the relationships they have from afar with stars in their city and the relationships they have, and maybe some actually know Ja personally. But you have to be honest with yourself. He's been off the floor more than he's been on the floor. They have to change directions. They have to go somewhere else. And they're not going to bring in all these young guys and try to build around Ja with those young guys. They're going to let those young guys be the building blocks for this team. It's going to be a problem for a year. Hopefully not two, but it could be in the rebuild. That's the unfortunate thing.
Got some texts that we will get to coming up in just a little bit. You can keep those coming in, 901-360-8255, 360-8255. That is the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line.
Town Village Audubon Park is senior living in today's world, located at 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue in the heart of East Memphis. Offering more options to fit your needs more than ever before, they're dedicated to the long-term satisfaction and the quality of life for their residents. All they ask is that you're 55 years of age or older, so when you're thinking about your parents, your grandparents, or even your golden years, think Town Village Audubon Park. You can go online to find out more about them, townvillageaudubonpark.com. Call them at 901-537-0002. Independent living, short-term respite stay, monthly options may be the way to go. Everything you need to continue to enjoy life to its fullest. The basic services include monthly rental with no buy-in. Apartments include full kitchen, washer, and dryer, excluding the efficiency apartments. All-inclusive resort-style dining with multiple venues, outpatient therapy, the community amenities. They have a community center, which features a fitness center, or a community social area, which features a fitness center, home theater, indoor pool and whirlpool, 24-hour pantry, village nook convenience store, beauty salon, library, and computer center. They have five landscape courtyards on the premises, resident gardening areas, recreational, religious, social, and wellness activities, dog park, gated parking for your safety, everything you need to enjoy life to its fullest. It's Town Village Audubon Park. Call them today. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, 901-537-0002, or online at townvillageaudubonpark.com. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So it does appear Fred Smith will be joining us on the show tomorrow. He'll be flying back from Kansas, where he flew out to for an all-star game. Of course, the latest Memphis Tigers commit, the Briarcrest Christian star, was expected to be on with us on Friday. So I believe, hopefully, fingers crossed, he'll be on with us tomorrow.
Some more texts here on the Sisties Log Cabin listener line, 360-8255. Texas, I like what Zach has done draft-wise. He's definitely had to make some tough decisions. All I could say is I remember the days of drafting the Robert Archibalds and Cesar Trubanskys of the world. Thank God for Zach.
Got a text from Brett. Says, Taylor Jenkins was a dead man walking his final year when the front office fired all of his assistant coaches before the season. He had no option but to embrace the new coaches and changes. I know from a conversation with one of the fired assistants that Taylor went to each assistant coach's home, sat down, and thanked them for their contributions. They knew it was not Taylor that pulled the trigger on these changes. No doubt there was an agenda, and Taylor was not going to survive it.
Yeah, there was no doubt about that. He was put in an impossible situation, and the writing was certainly on the wall, and everybody knew that. Grizzly Steve says, everybody's still talking about Ja being gone, but no one in the front office has come out and said anything possibly about trading Ja. It's pure speculation. Yeah, again, they're not going to come out and, like, tell everybody, like, yes, we are trading Ja Morant, but all of the reporting and everything else of, like, there's what they tried to do at the deadline that people, all these national reporters weren't making that stuff up. I mean, they didn't trade. And again, they wouldn't trade Jaren Jackson Jr. to hold on to Ja Morant.
You're also not going to tell all the other teams what you're going to do. You're hoping to get something out of this deal, assuming that deal happens. And again, 11 o'clock today is the exit interviews. We'll hear, we'll see if Zach Kleiman says anything. Again, he's not going to come out and say, we're absolutely 100% trading Ja Morant. But I'll be very curious what words he uses, how he phrases things when talking about his future.
Keith says it's not just injuries with Ja. His game has never progressed. He's the player now that he was when he was a rookie. He can't shoot, and he can only score by doing something thrilling. He's not a point guard to me.
Numbers have gone down, but I still think he can do enough where he's one of the better players on the court every time out. But his numbers, his statistics did go down in the limited time he played this year as far as shooting percentages.
Yeah, his shooting was, you know, the three-point shooting was, you know, 20, he had up at 23.5%. I mean,
how many times I scream on this show, don't shoot threes, Ja!
And overall, 41% are, you know, that's by far a career low as far as that goes. You could certainly make that argument. Now, saying he's not a point guard, I don't know why you say he's not a point guard. I mean, he's a point guard. I mean, he still averaged over 8 assists per game in the time that he played this year.
I'd still take a very healthy Ja Morant over a lot of players in the NBA and a lot of point guards over. So I don't want to, you know, not pile on the guy as far as, like, the skills. Yeah, the shooting numbers went down a bit.
I mean, his assist number, the 8.1, that matches his career. He's done it three different seasons where he's at 8.1 assists. So I don't, to say he's not a point guard, I think he absolutely, and again, healthy Ja is a really good point guard.
Right. Just, And when you don't have enough shooting around you, you are forced sometimes to take those threes. Again, to me, a little bit ill-advised. He was not a good three-point shooter. But when you lose a Dez Bane and some of the other guys that had the ability to shoot threes, even not having Ty Jerome when he was actually playing, Ja was playing, which was limited. You know, who knows if you have more shooters around you, three-point shooters, Ja can drive and dish. Yes, he wasn't as fearless going to the rack like he was as a rookie, which is probably a smart thing from a injury standpoint. But again, the injury still happened either way. Let me go to Gilbert here, who's dialed in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. Hi, Gilbert.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Doing well. What's
your guys' show?
Thank you.
Well, you know, my main question is do we really trust Zach Kleiman with these draft picks? And number two is, we really need to look at Zach Edey for our future, because with these, just like Ja, with these injuries, can we survive another year with Zach Edey getting injured? That's all I have to say, guys, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Gilbert, and you hit it on the head with Edey. That's concerning, I know, to a lot of people, including me. If Zach Edey comes out next year and then gets hurt again, I don't know. I mean, I think you got to pull the plug. That's why with this draft, we'll see what they end up doing after that first pick, if they go and look for a big to add to this roster, because I don't know if you can depend on Zach right now from a health standpoint. As far as Kleiman making the decisions, Eli, you got the track record over there. I mean, he's hit on a lot.
Why would we not trust Zach Kleiman with these draft picks?
He's hit on a lot. He's missed a few, but he's hit on a lot.
You should trust Zach Kleiman with these draft picks. That's been the best thing he's done is draft. Like, I fully trust Zach Kleiman in with these draft picks.
Jay Ham, do you?
Not the draft picks. It's going, I think, beyond the draft picks. But
right.
That's a whole other topic for another day.
Right, but the draft picks, you're fine with Zach making those decisions?
He's great in scouting and evaluating. I have no problem with him there.
Okay.
I mean, that was your question you would ask about, like, the Chris Wallace days about the draft picks. But, again, I don't, like, you can't fault his track record in the draft. John says, perhaps Ja was legitimately hurt the past two seasons, but this season I believe Ja was capable of playing more, but a combination of Coach Isolo and Ja's attitude toward his rookie coach have led to this nonsense. In my opinion, you get rid of Isolo, hire a veteran coach, and build around Ja, Coward, and Edey in our lottery picks.
There were games played this year. I mean, like playing around with the situation. I agree with that. I think there were certainly times when Ja could have played. I do believe that, but because of all the reasons, and that he, I don't believe, is a part of the future, I think that was another reason to keep him off the court. I know people kept saying, well, you put him on the court to showcase. No, I mean, that wasn't going to happen, and then they put him on the shelf for the rest of the season. As far as building around him, you're going to depend on three guys. He said Coward, Edey, and Ja. Ja's been hurt the last 3 years. Edey, unfortunately, who was never hurt at Purdue, has been hurt now in Memphis since his arrival, basically. Coward, in his first year, had a really good rookie year. I think you build around Coward, but I don't know if I would depend on two out of those three guys to build around, guys that have continually been hurt. Edey's had now a couple of procedures already in the last year. By the way, this was texted to me that in a year in which all the Grizzlies were hurt at one point or another, basically, three guys who at one point last year were with the Grizzlies played in every single game this year in the NBA. Dez Bane, 82, Jay Huff, 82, Jake LaRavia, 82. All former Grizzlies. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation. We'll take a look at the play-in schedule for this week, how the standings wrapped up for the regular season, which, of course, ended yesterday. More of your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. We have a lot of portal news that we'll get to. The transfer portal open for business, and it's starting to get busy. And then we'll look back at Rory's win at the Masters for a repeat, a successful defense of his green jacket. Again, hour number one brought to you by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery. Great to have them along. Hour two on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.